I don't think I ever asked myself why I wanted to write and then set out to do it. I always wanted to write, so I'm rationalising after the event. I explored the world through reading before I ever travelled far from my comfort zone. So when I was young, the written word really was the world. Life is mostly muddle, and important though the memory theatre is, it's hard to keep a grasp of things and to give them shape. That's what writing does. Of course, the pattern writing creates can be false to life, too tidied up, too coloured in after the event. But good writing not only tells it like it is, but adds the pleasure of rhythmic cadence, vivid metaphor and imagery, the colour and character of words themselves. We have to be fascinated by rendering life into words, because it is through language that we learn to act upon the world in an unprecedented way. Just as our ancient evolutionary heritage in Africa lies behind the iconic status we afford supreme athleticism, in writing we celebrate the very process by which we became human. Writing inevitably means something slightly different to me than it did in my early years. Originally, I was a poet, believing in the primacy of individual experience and imagery. Now I'm a science writer, and it is the elan of current research that spurs me. Science on one level may have become too complicated and abstract for language. The Large Hadron Collider is a monumental piece of engineering and human organisation, and the equations for which it provided supportive evidence way beyond verbal paraphrase. But science is still uncovering ideas of simplicity and elegance that cry out for narrative. One such was my learning that folding a map at a few degrees off a right angle allows it to fold back in one move, and that this is the way that hornbeam and beech leaves unfold from the bud. Nature as origamist. Insights like this, surprising parallels between nature and geometry, the world as a skein of physical metaphors, cry out to be rendered in words. We're living in the midst of the greatest scientific efflorescence in history, but most of it does not percolate through to a rather bemused lay consciousness. Currently, my favourite reading matter is the weekly magazine Science, the world's leading multidisciplinary science journal. Every week, I read of insights that would have seemed outlandish to my youthful self studying chemistry in the 1960s. The course of human evolution at a genetic level. How animals and plants are built from a single cell. How all forms of information can be processed by nanoprocessors at almost the speed of light. How the Earth's geological features are formed by the collisions and wrenching apart of vast tectonic plates. How the Earth's climate has changed dramatically in quite short periods of time. How the miracle of photosynthesis is performed at a molecular level. All these were unknown 50 years ago, and now are understood in ever-increasing detail. To tell these stories in an accessible way is my mission. Perhaps my absorption in science has sidetracked my earlier aesthetic preoccupations, but for me, the revolution in our understanding of the world weighs more heavily in the scale than the purely humanistic literary approach I imbibed from writers such as Proust and Louis MacNeice. Nevertheless, writing is writing, not science. I care very deeply about prose style. In trying to straddle the worlds of science and literature, I have the best possible model in Primo Levi, a writer for whom C.P. Snow's Two Cultures simply did not exist. I'm not a famous writer, so I have little sense of whether anyone has ever noticed the effects I have contrived that have pleased me. I only know that, remembering my boyhood self, reading books till the small hours of the morning, just to have been a part of the great web of writers has been a dream fulfilled.